Everybody, very excited to be here. I'm going to move really fast. I'm going to talk about humanity's next frontier, which I believe to be neurotech. I'm going to cover these three things in 7 minutes. So please pay attention to the slides, not to me, because your visual cortex can absorb way more information that way. So I'm going to leverage a lot of imagery to communicate a lot. I'm going to talk about three things: neurotech to continue humanity's evolution, neurotech as defensive acceleration, and the rough roadmap for neurotech. Neurotech can be a solution to mitigating and curing many diseases and disorders of various sorts, both neurological things and many other kind of nerve damage type issues. It can also lead to better self-regulation of our minds, of our bodies, and of our moods, and of our decisions. So by having the ability to upgrade our brains, we'll be able to do everything we do, hopefully better. We can also do things like restoring mobility, restoring senses like sight, and senses like hearing. This was the realm of sci-fi in the 20th century. It is happening today, and many people are already the beneficiaries of these kinds of technologies. You will see this ramping up over the next 5 to 10 years. Now, after repair, we can start enhancing our senses. It's just an accidental fact of evolution that we have the particular senses that we have, or the particular capabilities that we have. Now that we have certain technologies, we can now start enhancing our capabilities and being able to see a wider spectrum, being able to hear a wider spectrum, and so on. We can also start using these systems to enhance our thought. We can level up how we ourselves think. We can also improve the connectivity between ourselves. So think of the ability to actually have something like telepathy. This was science fiction in the 20th century. It will become science fact in the 21st century. The corpus callosum is the way that the two lobes of your brain communicate to each other. They have, hundreds of millions of connections, something on the order of that, or hundreds of millions of neurons going through. Maybe that connections are many orders of magnitude higher. But that's how you maintain a sense of self. You can imagine that type of connectivity being able to extend to other humans and eventually to the rest of humanity. You could actually get telepathy to scale. You also have better connectivity to computers. This means you can think of augmenting your current neocortex, which is itself a brain on top of other brains, right? Our evolution in the brain is a series of stacked brains that we evolved over hundreds of millions of years. And you can think of now adding a next layer, which people commonly call the exocortex, of being able to now have other devices associated with your brain. Then that could lead to connectivity with the internet more broadly, being able to do things like recall the information that's in the internet, being able to learn extremely quickly, being able to actuate other computers in the internet, and so on. But the most important thing, and why we're here today in terms of DEAC Day, is connectivity to AI. And I'm going to make the case that this is absolutely critical from a humanity survival level scale. Look, the future is extremely different than the past. Normally, humanity doesn't like to think about this. We like our normal day-to-day experience, and we believe this like wonderful fiction that the world was just always like this and always will be. This is just not the case. All of the evidence that we have about our past shows that the entire universe was extremely different billions of years ago. The planet was very different billions and millions of years ago. And our own species evolved through various different paths and various different time frames. Even ourselves, after achieving this level of biological scale, changed a dramatic amount over the last tens to hundreds of thousands of years ago, or even millions of years ago. So who you are today, who humanity is today, is radically different than the humanity of 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, 100,000 years ago. So this is a totally different evolving landscape. And so we now need to look ahead into 100, 1,000, 10,000 years into the future and think about where we're headed. So this is the hard part. This is what I consider to be the most important graph for humanity today. It's a plot of the computing scale over time. And the horizontal lines are different guesses as to what you would take computationally to be able to simulate a whole brain. We're entering what I call the fun zone, where we're finally, for many models, we should be able to actually model a human brain sometime in the next 10 to 20 years with that level of computational capacity. If you're much more conservative than that and think there's maybe many other lower level atomic or quantum effects, it might take another 20 years. But this is roughly a timeline. This also suggests, if you can do this to the human brain, which is, you know, neurons are quite big. We're talking about micron scale. If you can do this in neurons, you can certainly do it in artificial neural nets, which are orders of magnitude smaller and faster, meaning there's an advantage for digital systems that just operate dramatically faster and at smaller scale. meaning that if you can do this to a human brain in this time scale, you can certainly create an AGI much sooner than that, orders of magnitude sooner in terms of computing complexity, so that means many years before. We've seen AI seep into things, we've seen the field accelerate, and now this is the main problem space. We've seen capabilities, human capabilities fall to AI. There's like this great graph from Our World in Data that shows how we can build models and go very quickly from completely abysmal performance to superhuman capability in a matter of a year or a few years. And so, you know, whenever you hear somebody say, oh, AIs will never do that, just pull up this graph and just start pondering at what point in time will that actually cease to be the case. So just do not believe, disbelieve the question of, oh, AIs are just never going to be able to do what humans can do. Just remember that, you know, we do things that dinosaurs couldn't do. So just have some humility as a species. The top right graph is maybe one of the most optimistic landscapes. A lot of the people deep in the AI field think that that's roughly what's going to happen in 2027, 2028. We'll start getting a recursive self-improvement, and then we'll go from AGI to ASI. That's very aggressive. That I hold a large probability distribution there, but I think it may take longer. It may take quite a lot longer. So we have some window of time to upgrade ourselves. To make matters more complicated, we now have a whole bunch of robotics appearing. So these models, even though you know they might not be as smart as us, are going to be able to actuate bodies like ours, and bodies that are just different than ours in a bunch of regards. So we have both humanoids coming in the pipeline, and then other things like drones and whatnot. So we're really headed for a very, very difficult choice. I like the story of comparing Homo erectus to Homo sapiens, the Neanderthals, and the Denisovans. Homo erectus was a hominid from millions of years ago, 1 to 2 million years ago, that expanded out of Africa the same way that we did, and basically colonized a lot of the world, but went extinct. Millions of years later, hundreds of thousands of years ago, Homo sapiens, Neanderthals, and Denisovans each had their own expansion out of Africa, then eventually ended up merging and upgraded into the species that we have today. So most of us carry some amount of Neanderthal and Denisovan DNA, and we have this combined species with the bulk of it being Homo sapiens. So this is the trade-off that we have. We can go the way of Homo erectus, or we can start merging and improving ourselves. And so really, I think of it this way. We have this digital evolution pathway that we're building, and either we're going to make another digital species that will replace us if we insist on remaining entirely biological and refuse to enhance ourselves, or we can take the path of bootstrapping with neurotech and evolving ourselves and our future. Now, I'll touch super briefly on the roadmap. There's BCIs, and you'll see this, you're starting to see this develop. This will enhance over the next 5 to 10 years. Whole brain emulation is the next frontier after that. I really think these two things are extremely critical to survive. This is roughly the roadmap that I expect in whole brain emulation. This might be too late by many accounts. And so if you want to dramatically decrease AI risk, I suggest you join me in accelerating the whole brain emulation roadmap and also the BCI roadmap. We could be doing something kind of like this, potentially even tighter. And so that's both possible and I think imperative. We need breakthroughs in all kinds of tools and technologies, and we really need an R&D environment similar to the one that we just saw for AI development or for many other technologies. This is roughly the capital scale that we're talking about, which means you can usually orient it in terms of philanthropy and angel investors initially, then VC, then tech companies, because the scaling, the tens of billions of scale, is just so expensive that just VC cannot afford this. So either you start generating a cash flow to grow, or you have to tap the tech companies themselves. So I think if you want to defensively accelerate, I strongly encourage you to support neurotech, either by working directly in it, by funding it, and by spreading the word. I think government isn't going to do it for a lot of reasons. And I do think that we need a range of field building to happen. Huge plug for a lot of organizations that have been doing this. And especially, I think today we think that prizes and fast grants can greatly accelerate the field. You'll hear from other folks in neurotech about a lot of this stuff in more detail. But specifically, a way that the crypto community can dramatically help here is by supporting the field as a whole through prizes and grants. All right, thank you very much. Thanks.
Thank you, Juan. That was amazing.